And we're going to continue that today. Matt and both of you? Sure, come on up. We have Matt and Aaliyah Merrill from Tucson, Gap Ministries. And they're going to be, they spoke last night, and they're going to speak again today. And, you know, while we were setting up for this, our leadership, at least, I know we were expecting to hear from God. And you know what? God showed up. So today, I hope that we are expecting answers from God, because God's going to show up in a mighty way today. Amen? God is going to show up. So we have Matt and Aaliyah Merrill here to bring the word. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. So this is my beautiful wife. We've been married for a whole 3 months and one day. And she's the joy of my life. She's the more better smelling, better looking, smarter, more intelligent half. But she wanted to say something, and then she's going to sing a song. So.
So good morning. It's really good to see you guys here. Just starting off with a verse that you guys are probably all familiar with. We love before because God first loved us, right? And with this talking about giving, we give because God gives, right? And so Matt asked me to play a song, and I, during worship, like, it was so powerful. I just feel like the Lord wants to give something to you guys today, to each of you. That you're here by divine appointment and not just because you chose to come to church today. So there's something that God's going to do. I've never done this before, but I just, like, I can feel it. So what I want you guys to do is just close your eyes. And this is individual time with you and the Lord. And I'm going to sing and play piano, but God's going to minister to you. And to some of you, he's going to give physical healing. And to some of you, he's going to give inner healing, like stuff with emotions. And to some of you, he's going to reveal a gift that you have that he wants to give you. So we'll see what happens, but this is what he wants to do. So close your eyes, get in a place where you and the Lord can talk, okay?
Set the captives free, set the captives free, set the captives free, set the captives free, set the captives free indeed. To give you what you need, give you what you need, give you what you need. To give you what you need, give you what you need, give you what you need. To open your eyes to me, open your eyes to me, open your eyes to me. it close to me, bring it close to me, bring it close to me. To bring it close to me, bring it close to me, bring it close to me. To help you when you're weak, help you when you're weak, help you when you're weak. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Aaliyah. And so my name is Matt Merrill, and obviously that's my wife, Aaliyah. And just a little bit about myself. I work with Gap Ministries, and formerly I was on staff with Bridge Builders International. And so it was a prayer mobilization network, essentially, and a leadership network that connected with leaders like our governor and others. Hal and Cheryl Sachs had prayed with President Calderon of Mexico several times, specifically about prayer on the border, and he was requesting more and more prayer back then. And it was a big part of Hal and Cheryl's heart to pray for our borders, to pray for God's safety, protection, and whatnot. They were just in Mexico City this past fall, having a prayer meeting over the issue of sex trafficking. And so I highly regard Hal and Cheryl and what they're doing. I'm a part of another team called Gap Ministries with Greg and Pam Ayers. And we have 130 or so kids at almost any given time that are in foster care. We have, we call them splash house parents. They're real parents who, that's their full-time job, is to love on these children who are broken, from the most broken backgrounds, really, you can imagine. Some of these kids have been sex trafficked. Some of these kids have been sold out. Some of them are there because their parents are doing drugs or 100 other things. And so it's an opportunity to love these children to life. From 0 to 18, we just got a grant in, and we're going to be doing transitional housing for those coming out of the foster care system. And it's a real opportunity to love those who don't have that stable home environment. And so I myself am their community transformation coordinator. I don't know what that quite is, but we work a lot with the community. Sat with our mayor this past week and talked about how can we serve and how can we serve your vision in the city. And we'll continue those meetings and see how Christians can be gathered, pastors and leaders, to meet the needs of our city. And I believe as we meet practical needs, that opens the door for us then to pray for them and them to relate to them. So if you want to open your Bibles up to Jeremiah 9, and we'll start with there. So it's Jeremiah 9:23 to 26 I'll be reading. So Father, I thank you that you're good. I thank you that you're already here. I thank you that you love those that I'm talking to. And I may not be here in a week or a year, but you'll always be with them and you'll always be pursuing them. And I pray that if nothing else, that they would walk away knowing your heart a little bit deeper today. May they not feel condemnation. May they feel your heart. So Holy Spirit, thank you for working in each life, no matter their age or their stage. Give me words that are from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 23, it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts or brag about this, that he knows me, that he understands me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things do I delight." And it goes on to say, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll punish those who are circumcised merely in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all those who dwell in the desert, who cut the corners of their hair. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart." And so what I feel the Lord is saying today is, I want you inwardly to be mine. not just to be called a Christian, not just to be a church attender, but that you would know him. And the passage is laying out that you can know and understand God, maybe not to the fullness, but you individually in this room. God wants to relate to you. God wants you to see that his love is high and deep and rich for you. And more than that, he wants, when push comes to shove over the course of your life, the thing that you boast about, the thing you brag about, isn't your money or lack of money, isn't your wisdom or lack of wisdom, and it's not your strength or your lack of strength. But that when you boast, and it's that you know him and that you understand him. And he's like, that's what I want you to value and identify yourself as in this life. It's that I know God, I know the Father, I know he loves me, and he's the most important person in the whole wide universe. And he knows me, and he looks at me, and he regards me. That the most important person knows me. Whether you know CEOs or you don't know anyone of high regard in this life, there's a God in heaven who regards you, and that matters. He doesn't just want us to be circumcised in the flesh, but circumcised in heart. And so the Israelites circumcised themselves as a sign that they were God's children. And now today, he's not just looking for our actions to look like a Christian, though that matters, our actions matter. But he's looking for our hearts to look at him, even if we're stumbling, even if we're messy, even if our behaviors are off, but we're his. It's really what he's after. It says in Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms, it says a lot in Psalm 103, but the verse I want to lay out is, I'll just read it from my iPhone. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And this is the verse, verse 7. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. God revealed his acts, his power to the people of Israel, but his ways, his nature, his character, he revealed to Moses. Moses not only knew what God did, he knew God. And I believe that's what God's calling us to do. And I believe God is a miraculous God. I believe God heals the sick. He raises the dead. He casts out demons. He does things that wows us. And we should know that. But today I believe he's calling us not only to know what he does, but know who he is. Not to just know him at a distance, to know him up close and personal. My grandmother grew up in a Catholic background, and very Catholic background. And you know what? She had relatives, I had relatives, I suppose, that saw God heal miraculously. I mean, she never prayed for that, but she knew that God was powerful. She knew that God was real. But my mom prayed for 35-ish years. And a few years ago, she moved in with us. And I remember I would tell her about Jesus and the gospel. And not only that God was powerful, but that God wanted to powerfully know her and her heart. And, you know, one day she started showing up with us to church, you know, being whatever about church. A staunch Catholic and not a connected Catholic, a disconnected Catholic. And, you know, one day, they call themselves the Glory Girls. They're the senior citizen widowed women. And so the Glory Girls started courting her to come to play dominoes with them. And she starts showing up to the prayer meetings. She didn't like the prayer meetings, but she liked dominoes. So that works. And one day she shows up to church, and I remember she goes forward because the pastor asked, hey, do you want to be refreshed? And so she's like, I stayed up late playing dominoes. I guess I'll come forward. I'm tired. And so she comes to the front. And I knew there's something different in that moment. And so I followed her to the front. And she prayed. I prayed with her. And God really refreshed her. And she felt strength from God. And she felt God encounter her in that moment. I told her, Nana, I'm half Mexican. Nana, I believe God doesn't just want to refresh you. He wants you to know him. And in that moment, it clicked for her. And she had heard it 100 times from me. But in that moment, she surrendered her life to Christ and invited him in to say, Jesus, I want to know you relationally, now and forever. And I believe that you can do that. And for the first time in her life, she said that prayer. And it was more than a prayer. It was a heart thing with Jesus. And later that day, she's like, I feel so different. I feel so different. The next day, she comes and wakes up. I feel so different. You know, and a few months later, she got baptized in the Spirit and all the fun stuff. And the Glory Girls were discipling her. And she loves Jesus. She knows Jesus. She has peace on her. Her family sees the difference. And a few years later, the story continues, and we're believing God for healing. But if he never did, she has cancer. She, without God's intervention, she'll likely pass in a few months. But the peace that's on her and the faith that's in her, in Christ, is incredible and a testimony to my extended family and us. My mom looks at her and it's like, I'm so glad what God did in the last few years of her life. And so what am I saying? Is that she knew that God was real. She knew that God was powerful at a distance. But there was a day when it was her time, and where her heart knew Christ, and where her prayers began to be more than God bless my family or God protect them, though that's okay to pray that. It was a love relationship with God. And I believe that's what he wants for each one of us. And so I don't know why I shared that story, but I just felt like that was pertinent for right now. I want to talk about something. In psychology, there's a guy named Maslow. And I don't know if he was Christian or not, but I just want to go over something. He had the thing called Maslow Hierarchy of Needs. And it's not entirely Christian, but I felt really led to talk about it this morning. And he has this pyramid. And in this pyramid, let me pull it up on my phone. He said that there's basic needs that all humans have. And these needs that if they're not fulfilled, you can't pay attention to the rest of these needs. And so basic needs in life, and the higher you go, the more you're able to connect with and care about these other needs. At the bottom, he says they're psychological needs. They're very basic. To live, we need food, we need water, and we need warmth. I think we have warmth in this part of the world, but I'm sure in the cold parts is what he's talking about. The second tier of needs is a sense of safety or security and shelter. The third level of needs is belonging, a sense of friends, family, community. And a little higher up, he says, self-esteem, achievement, mastery, recognition. And at the top, he says this thing called self-actualization. I don't know that I fully agree with that term, but that's that where creativity, fulfillment, and pursuit in life, or pursuit of talent and stuff. And so at least in the world, they'll recognize these terms and they'll be able to define them for us. And what I think is cool about this is that it makes a lot of sense, at least in some of these levels, that people won't pay attention to us as the church when they have felt needs. If they're hungry, do they care about the gospel? Maybe. But when we feed them and they're hungry, they begin to listen. When we clothe them when they're naked, it matters. When we give them shelter when they're homeless and help them up, then they begin to care about things. When they have a sense of security and safety, it makes them a little more interested. A lot of people come to church not because they believe in God, but because they're looking for community. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's looking for friendship. Everybody's looking for it. And so sometimes people will begin to find community in a church before they understand anything about the spiritual nature of a church. And then there's stuff beyond that. But I want to spiritualize this list to say this. And I was going to speak out of Psalm 23, ironically. Actually, can you see? Hand me that. That the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord sees all of our needs. He sees all of these things that we need in life holistically. And that the Lord is our shepherd, I'll never be in need. The cool thing about God is that he cares about us, and he cares about every aspect of us. That I'll never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me by streams of peaceful water. You refresh my life. You are true to your name. You lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me. Your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows, your kindness and love. And so you see it. God wants to, in our Christian walk, in the beginning especially, begin to show us miraculous provision. He wants to show us, look, I care about your needs, your felt needs, your even these other things that you can't even pay attention to the rest of us until it's met. He wants to meet us where we're at spiritually, at our basic level. At the basic level that he wants us as Christians foundationally to know, he loves us. If we're never to accomplish anything in life, he radically loves us deeply, more than any person on the face of the earth. He loves us, he loves us, he loves us. Not only for his benefit, but because he just does. And eternally, we'll see it. Eternally, we'll know it. Eternally, we'll know his mercy and his grace. And that's the foundational thing that he wants us to understand. He wants to meet that need in our human heart. And from there, he wants us to know that, you know what? He's with us and things will be okay. He'll provide for our life. He's a shepherd who stands beside us. There's wolves at a distance, but he's a shepherd who lays down his life. He'll protect us. He'll stand up for us. Other friends in life, they may let us down. They may say one thing to us and another thing about us, but he is who he is. And he is strong. He's mighty. He'll stand up to Pharaoh for us. He's unafraid, and he'll back us up. And from there, it goes into the first need in this sense, but a sense of family and belonging and community. He wants to connect us with the body of Christ. He wants us not only to personally experience him on our own, though that's foundational, as he wants us to begin to learn to experience himself together and a sense of community, and whether it be your physical family, whether it be friends, whether it be your college, whether it be your school. He wants to connect us from having a sense of identity personally to know our corporate identity as the body of Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, but the inference is that there's a whole flock. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our Father in heaven, he's not just my Father. He's not just your Father. He's all of our fathers. And eternally, it's crazy. We're going to be a family. And I'll know you forever. And I may not see some of you, and I may, in the next few years, but I'll see you for billions of years. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. And God wants us to know that family thing, but that we matter. It's not just a sea of people. It's individual relationship within that whole crowd. He cares about the one sheep. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. He doesn't stop loving you once you're a Christian, but he highlights you. He sees your need. He sees your wounds. He sees your background. He understands that sometimes we walk in sin, and sin is bad no matter what. But he sees, you know what, you were really rebelling because you were wounded, and I want to heal your wounds. I don't just want to deal with your behavior. I want to deal with, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? He cares. He's innately good, and he innately cares about us. And from there, he wants to begin to build a sense of confidence, not of ourselves, but in the giftings that he gave us. And from knowing the giftings he gave us, he wants to give us a sense of a purpose for that. You know what? The reason why, as a Christian, I'm still on this planet isn't only to know the Father and commune with him, because he would have just taken me to our eternal home. But he wants me to continue to know him. But he wants me to begin to share who he's like to those I'm around. I was driving past 22nd Street in Tucson the other day, and I just, out of nowhere, one of those moments, he's like, Matt, I want friendship with you. And I've heard him say it 100 times, if not more. I'm like, okay. But this time I wasn't saying, Jesus, here's what I need. And in this particular moment, I'm like, Jesus, how can I be a friend to you? And it surprised me. I thought he was going to just tell me something a little more different. And he's like, Matt, introduce me to your friends. And in that moment, I had a picture of a particular person that I actually wasn't friends with yet. It was a certain leader in the city. And he just shared me with them. Like, it's just very interesting. Part of our friendship with Christ is to share him with others. And it's not like this obligation. It's when I got down to his heart, what can I do for you, my friend? He says, just talk about me. You love me, Matt. Don't keep it to yourself. In its right time and setting, let others know. But he wants me to know first, I'm your friend, Matt. You're my friend, and I love you. And I'm not asking you to share to the world because it's only your mission or it's just some high and lofty vision. It's I want you to know my heart. Because when you talk about me and you don't know me, Matt, you kind of misresent me in your approach. They could see zeal, but they don't necessarily see love. And I want them to see a zealous love. I want them to see a radical passion. But I also really want them to see that that's who I am and not just your approach. And so there's people all throughout this room, and you're at different stages in life. For some of you, you're just struggling to pay your bills. And for others of you, you're just like, man, I'm just a kid. I'm just in school and all that entails. And some of you, you're like, man, I just have small kids and trying to balance life. Some of you, or I'm just married for 3 months and a day and trying to figure that out. And you know what? God sees all these areas of life. He sees the station and stages, and those things matter to him. He cares about your marriage. He cares about you as a son to your parents or daughter to your parents. He cares about you and your ministry roles. He cares about you in each one of these things. So for some of you, the basic is right now that what God is dealing with is just let me love on you. Before I tell you anything else in life, let me just love on you. But others of you, it's, hey, you know me. At least you know me in part. I'm not dealing with that. You know this. I'm going to continue to love on you. But let me begin to show you your purpose for why you're on this earth. Let me begin to show you why you have gifts and talents in your life, spiritual and practical, be it from piano to, hey, I give you a sense for business for a reason. And I want to show you that purpose. I want to show you your benefit to the body in Christ. What gifts have I given you that you could strengthen others with? That he wants to strengthen you, but you know what? Each one of you has a voice. Each one of you can and does hear from God. And he wants to speak through you to those you're around. You're never too young or too old to hear the voice of God. Never too young, never too old. And you know what? The young people need you who are young in heart. And young people, those who are older, need your vision and need your zeal and need your energy and need the voice of God in you. We need each other and we need Christ in each other to see a full picture of who he is. Your community needs the gifts that you have. They need the gifts of service practically and need the gifts of God spiritually in you out there. And God wants to do it from health, from wholeness, and from a family context, doing it together. Not only individually making you alive, but together making you alive, moving as one unit. There's an army rising up, and it's not a disunited army. It's an army that knows its chief, Jesus, and knows its purpose going forward to bring the kingdom of God together. Not only to take back what the enemy's stolen, but to establish the kingdom of God, be it in schools, be it in business, be it in education, be it in arts and entertainment, together. And if we don't do it together, we're weaker. God's not weaker in us, but we're weaker in our flesh. And we need the gifts of God in each other that strengthen each other. The gift of tongues, it says in the Bible, it says, he who prays in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies, builds up the body. We need that strength that comes from each other. We absolutely need it. Not necessarily for our salvation, but to grow up in Christ. It says in Ephesians 4, God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, teachers, and evangelists for the building up of the body of Christ to the maturity of Christ. Like we grow in him together, and God desires all of us to mature into fullness. God has a plan for your life that you would look like Jesus in maturity. And so I believe he's calling all of us to that. I said something the other day when I spoke somewhere, and Aaliyah's like, Matt, that's good. Maybe it was just in the car. She writes down things I say all the time, maybe. And I said, the shepherd knows where he's going, and I happen to be his. Meaning Jesus knows what he's doing in the earth. I happen to be his, and he's the shepherd, I'm the sheep, I just get to be with him. And he's on a mission going somewhere, and as long as I'm staying connected to him and becoming aware, he's going to take me somewhere in life. You know what? It's not just that he's, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. It's because the shepherd's walking through that valley, and I'm with him. He cares about me as a sheep, but he has a mission in his heart. So intimacy with God and being aware of why you're near him and where he is going in the earth. Henry Blackaby says that the wrong question is, God, what's your purpose for my life? And he said the right question is, God, what is your purpose? What is your will? And your will, his will isn't just about you. It's about what he wants to do. He said, I'm coming to save my people Israel. I'm coming down to bring salvation. And then he tells Moses, I'm sending you. He says, I'm coming down. But I'm sending you. So God's doing something in the earth, and we have to discern his general will, what he's doing in our generation, and then we jump in and we join him, and he calls us to fit into his will and his purpose. I don't want to make any of that complicated, but I do want to have a more of an extended time for God just to speak on his own. The family that came in, where did they come from? Over here. You just stand up for me, will you? What town are you guys from? Winslow, okay. Happening place, right? And they came down here 10 degrees warmer. I just feel like, I don't know who you are. I just met you today, right? And I just want you to know, as a family, God is leading you. I just feel like that you're in a middle of a transition season. I don't know if that means geographically, but God's going to begin to define you as a family unit and be able to use you guys together, and that he gave each one of you giftings, and that he wants to show you how to impact your city and places he'll send you for his kingdom. And that he wants to begin to show you each other's potential. And God wants you to know his voice for your children and your children for you. So as parents, I want you to be open to praying for them. But I also want you to be open to be like, now you're going to pray for me and God's going to use you. And that God really wants to use you as a model in future months and future years. For others to say, oh my gosh, what is God doing with families? So you'll be a sign to our generation of what God's doing in the family unit, okay? You don't have to understand it, but just begin to pray for one another and believe God for that. Does that resonate with you? Okay. So, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Just put your hand on your guys' heart if you want to do that. And I just bless every gift of God in you being to come to the surface. I bless you and say, may you discern God's great plan for you guys individually and together as a unit. May you be stronger than you've ever been. And may you know that the Lord can use you. He can heal wounds. He can heal brokenness. He can heal things that have happened in your extended family that weren't so fun. And he can heal lives through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you, guys. Somebody over here in this section has a foot injury. Who is that? Speak up. It could be something small. Does somebody have something? Foot? Somebody? What's that? What is it? From his boots? Oh, okay. So raise your hand. Who is it? You? Blue shirt? Okay, sweet. Well, I want you. Well, then pray for you. This is perfect. Pray for you. I want you to repeat after me. Both of your feet hurt, guys? Repeat after me for each other, okay? Put your hand on his shoulder and vice versa. Repeat after me. Jesus, you're awesome. Incredibly awesome. Fantastically awesome. And I ask you to heal the foot. Take the pain. Make it feel good. Amen. I don't know. Feel your feet. I don't know how you ever check that. I don't know if you go like that or you jump up or something. I was ministering Friday night at a conference called Breakdown International. What's that? Yeah, there's a girl. These kids had no background in this stuff. And she's just like, all my life, right? Or no, it's not all my life. Well, for the last number of years, she's like, when I was little, I used to put popcorn kernels in my ears. And I couldn't hear right ever since. I put popcorn kernels in my ears. And they did surgery on it. You're better at sharing testimonies, babe. And she had hearing loss. And so I called out somebody in the audience. And I'm like, hey, you have hearing loss in one of your ears. And anyways, so later on, she's trying to share the testimony, but she's weeping and weeping and weeping. And I'm like, that means something happened, right? And they're like, yeah. And God restored hearing just right there. It's just a simple word. There's a kid who's like, I could never put my hand above my head before. And it was just so simple. It wasn't praying for hours. It was just simple faith in the room. The message was God loves you. He wants to heal your heart. And then just crazy things were happening. What else happened, babe? Oh, yeah, somebody fell out. They thought he fainted because this isn't their background. Like, I didn't lay hands on him. It was just the kid fell down. He was shaking on the ground. And they thought something medically happened wrong. And somebody else took care of it, being like, no, it's Jesus. He's ministering to him. He's okay. And I'm like, man, the message God is love and God loves you is really deep. Oh, yeah, there's a girl who, how long was she like that? Her whole life. She's better at sharing testimonies. Her whole life, I remember the testimony. She wasn't able to walk right, and she always leaned to one side. And afterwards, she's crying, and she's just saying, like, it's better. I don't think they even had her sit down and stretch out her legs. She's just doing it as she's standing up. God just heals her right there. I mean, isn't that cool? Anyway, so long story short, how does she has feet feel? Better? How do you know it's better? How do you know it's better? Does it hurt? What does that do to you? How do you feel? Pretty awesome? The Jesus cares about your feet, right? Okay, yeah. It's just a sign. The gospel of peace is going with you, okay? God's sending you out to people's lives. It talks about Ephesians 6, the armor of God. Yeah. 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 Yeah, your heart's on fire. You guys have an interpretation? Heart on fire? Yeah, just the presence of God. He's a consuming fire. Well, God is a consuming fire. He lives inside of you. If I were to, put it in the message, I would say God's circumcising your heart. He's calling you to himself. Purification. So, but just put your hand on your heart. Are you, what's, oh, yeah. Yeah. Is God healing you physically? Yeah. Go on a jog later today. Check it out. And put it to faith. Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Well, put your hand on your heart real quick. Do you want to put your hand on top of her heart? On top of her hand. Listen to it. No, really. Listen to it. Just bless it in Jesus' name. Okay. Let me know. Give me an update in a bit, okay? And so somebody here, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Just like the feet didn't seem like they're a big deal. But somebody has a crick in their neck, and it's just, I don't know if I had that word last night too, but somebody has a crick in their neck, and it's just hard to turn a little bit. Is there anybody with just something in their neck? Maybe you just woke up with it. Anybody? Yeah? Okay, so what is it? Okay, been waking up with that. Okay. Okay. So is this a relative? Daughter? Okay. Good. I always ask. Always ask. What's your name? Daughter? Okay. Can you put your hand on her neck? Do you want to repeat after me? Jesus, I thank you for her, that you so love her. You're so crazy about her. And you care about her. Let her neck be healed. Let tension be gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to move around your neck. How does it feel? Feels lighter. Okay, we're going to pray for you one more time. Repeat after me. Jesus, thank you. I bless what you're doing. And just command all tension to be gone. Thank you, God. Amen. All right, just move around your neck. Okay. And so if you just need healing real quick, we'll stay on it for a few minutes. I'm just going to call out a few things. How's it feel? Yeah? How's that make you feel? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to call out a few things. If it's you and there could be multiple people, just stand up. And it's not to embarrass you. It's just we're going to pray for you. If you just have a headache, super simple, just stand up. There's at least one person, you get chronic migraines. This is probably a bigger deal than a headache, but chronic migraines every month or so in particular, and they feel debilitating. They're really bad. So you would know who you are. But every month or so, you just get migraines. If you just have a headache and, oh, wow, he's just working on you, huh? There's a few people in here. There's something with the curvature of your feet. You might just be flat-footed. So if you're flat-footed, stand up. And if there's something with the curvature of your foot in general, stand up. There's somebody, I don't know what this means. There's like a lump. You don't know what it is. You just found a lump on your leg, and you're concerned. You're not sure what it is, but there's just something that's there. If that's you, just stand up. We'll pray for you. And there's somebody who was in a car accident. You just never fully healed from it. I just see your vertebrae. It could have been you. I don't know. You just never fully healed. And so what we want to do is, if you want to find somebody who's standing, just put your hand on their shoulder. Is there anybody who's never seen a healing before or a miracle? Is there anybody who's never seen a miracle? Okay. Well, you're going to be prayed for. You're going to see one, and then we'll use you. So if somebody's standing around you, just go put a hand on their shoulder. And I just want you to know, you who are being prayed for, there's no pressure to make anything up. There's no pressure. I just want you to stand there. Just God, do whatever you'd like to do. And if you're praying for them, I just want you in faith just saying, God, you're good. There's no pressure on you as the prayer. There's just pressure on Jesus, believing that this is what he's doing right now. So everybody who's being prayed for, just stand there. Everybody else, either stretch out your hands or repeat after me. Jesus, just thank you that you love. We thank you that you care. We thank you that you're powerful and that you're here. And we ask you, just begin to show yourself. Release healing. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. So what I want you to do is if you feel a change in your body, check it out. Whether it's moving your back, moving your neck, moving your knee, taking off your shoes and checking the bottom of your foot. I just want you to check wherever it's checkable and give you a moment. And if there's something that you felt happened, I just want you to wave your hand at me. Okay, you're nearest. What up?
What happened?
The original injury?
Original injury. What happened?
I was at a stoplight, and a young lady texting just rear-ended me real hard, yeah. And it broke my chair back, whiplashed my lower back, tore part of my vertebrae. And it's been, 5 years? 4 or 5 years. Been praying, seeking the Lord for healing on it, and I've felt some. Sometimes it seems to try to come back, and it has done that lately, but as we were praying, I don't feel it now.
You don't feel it now?
No, I don't feel it now.
So, thank you. What do you believe he did for you, God?
I know my God has healed me.
In Jesus' name, we bless it. Okay. All right. So somebody else. Come here. So what was wrong and what happened?
I had stood when you had talked about flat feet and things in your feet, and they all know, we make fun of my feet and call them empanada feet because they just, you know, they go. And when we were standing and we were praying, I literally felt like my feet begin to come up a little bit, and it was just awesome, and they just feel good. So
yeah.
Praise
you
God.
Try taking off feeling like that, something.
They feel good? Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We bless it. Was there anybody else who would like to share real quick? Anybody else? Brave souls? Okay. 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 Well, how's your back and your knee feel? Okay. So we're going to pray for you all together. You guys want to stretch out your hands? So we just bless you in Jesus' name. We bless what God is doing in you, and we bless even that burning that you're feeling and his presence on your face. And we just thank you, God, and we just thank you that you're beginning to move through throughout her time and throughout her body. And if this is wrong, I just let it roll off your shoulders. But I feel like either your mom or your grandma or aunt or something, woman in your family, you felt like they put a curse over you or something. I don't know what that is, but I declare that that is broken. And I declare that in Jesus' name, that the effect of that psychologically and on your body is broken. And there's something much more than physical pain that God is doing in you. And we release the presence of God, the faith of God, and the peace of God. And you even said, ever since whatever that happened, what financially that things just, they go up and they go down and they just plummet. But I declare even that is something is happening there financially and that there will be stability in your life. We release that in Jesus' name. You're not going to have to worry from paycheck to paycheck. You're going to be able to pay for other people's paychecks when they're having hard times, okay? You're going to be a blessing and you're going to be able to buy kids shoes and you're going to be able to get backpacks and you're going to be able to take care. God's given you heart for children. And he's gonna make a way for you to be a blessing and you to help others. God gave you administrative gift, and he gave you a gift of just seeing details, and he's going to help hone that gift and use that gift. And you're going to be able to even one day organize drives and things, be it secular, be it in church, I don't know, but I bless that in Jesus' name. And so this is what I want to do is, one is if you still would still like God to do physical healing in your body, or if you haven't seen what you'd like, just stand up. We're going to pray for you again. And if there's anybody else who would like prayer for physical healing, even if I didn't call out something, just stand up. We'll just see what God does. So you, what, did God do something for you? You don't know? Okay. What was it that you're standing for? Flat-footedness? Okay. So in Jesus' name, feet be healed and curvature, I just command something to happen. Move in Jesus' name. Move around your feet. Check it out, okay? If you have to, take off your shoes. Sorry to you guys around him. Just kidding. And so you guys want to put a hand on the shoulder of everybody around you or around, that's standing. And if you want to come here, Calvin, what do you want prayer for?
I broke my
okay.
5 weeks.
Okay.
90% retarded.
Okay. I want you to pray for him, okay? Okay. You know, you can just put your hand on his shoulder. That's fine. And you're just going to, we'll lead you into prayer, okay? And so I just want everybody to repeat after me. Father, you're really awesome. And we thank you for what you're doing. We bless it in Jesus' name. We command every body to be healed, every foot to be healed. And we thank you for your miraculous power. Do things we didn't even ask you to do. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you, God. Amen. So if you felt God do something, check it out. Move if you can do it. In Jesus' name, there's somebody who's just asking God, if you could do it, do this, and you have asthma in your lungs. I just declare your asthma's gone and your lungs are better in Jesus' name. You're just on the inside thinking, if God can do it, I want him to do it for me. Your asthma's better. Just go on a run later or something, if that's you. So did anybody notice something happen? Raise your hand, wave at me. Don't be embarrassed. Okay. All right, and you guys can take a seat. And this is what I'd like to do. Jesus, I bless you. I thank you for what you're doing. Real quick, I just felt like the Lord's like, you're not done. I see a kidney, and I don't know, does anybody have a kidney problem? They just need Jesus to heal, something in a kidney. Oh, that's that you? Okay. Okay. All right, let's pray for you right now. Do you have any volunteers? Any volunteers? All right, I volunteer you again. Come over there. All right, what's your testimony?
Yesterday, I
had sadness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome testimony. I love that. And so, guys, I want to stretch out your hands. And guys, everybody else, I just want you to stretch your hands, and I want you to pray. Just you to pray, okay? Just you. So repeat after me. I want you to know Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for him. You love him. I thank you for what you did last night. And I ask you to keep, let the hernia go down and be gone forever. In Jesus' name. All right, so I want you to go check that out. And not in here. Go check that out.
Pancreas
with insulin?
Pancreas with insulin.
Okay. I suppose. So,
as Matt was praying, I just thought in my mind, it came to my mind that the Lord wants to speak life to pancreases and those with sugar problems and diabetes, that he wants your pancreas to produce the proper amounts of insulin so that you will be no longer, he wants to heal diabetes. And Jesus paid it all. So this isn't something that you'll feel a difference immediately, and you might need to have a smart, wise way to monitor your sugars or reduce your insulin or watch and see and test it slowly. But if you've had diabetes and you want the Lord to heal, you just stand up, I suppose.
Would anybody like to receive that as their testimony from diabetes? Anybody else? Hey, Todd, you can pray.
Father, I just thank you that Jesus has already paid it all, and he was tortured and tormented and bore into his back stripes for our healing. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to my sister's pancreas, to my brother's pancreas. I say to produce insulin in the proper amounts, that the wholeness and health of Jesus will be manifest in their bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you for allowing us to pray for you. And this is what I want to do. What I want to do is have a quiet moment. And have you guys ever taught on words of knowledge? Okay. So a word of knowledge is when you feel like God speaks to you about something in somebody's life. And it doesn't always have to be a hip or a back. Sometimes it's just, hey, I see a picture of something. And a prophetic word might just be, you might see someone and you feel like God is saying something about them. And really feel like God wants to activate some of the gifts of the Spirit in this room. All of you, if you know Jesus, have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that's the fullness of God. And all of you are qualified to hear God because of what Jesus has done. And no matter what you did last night, no matter what you've done in your life, God wants to use you. And so what I want to do is have a quiet moment where we ask God to talk to us about somebody else in this room. I know it's risky, but I want you to know this is a safe setting. We're expecting God to do something. And the worst that could happen is you're off and we're like, that was funny, you know, give us a laugh. And for instance, I remember being in a setting like this, and I thought it was so stupid, but this guy on the speaker said, if it sounds silly, it still might be God. So I came forward, I had a picture of the fuzzy guy from Green Eggs and Ham. Like, isn't that, I'm just like, that's so random, that couldn't be God. And I came to the front, and they lined people up, and I said, I see a picture of the fuzzy guy from Green Eggs and Ham, and a kid stands up with a picture of a fuzzy guy from Green Eggs and Ham with a picture right on his shirt. I'm like, that is so weird. That is so random. And I had another picture, and so the guy on the microphone said, hey, that other picture is probably for him. But what happens is God wants to stir faith, and there might be a picture. Friday night when I ministered, I had a picture of it wasn't the New York Knicks, a picture of the New York Knicks, and I'm like, I have no idea what this means. I see a picture of the New York Knicks. I don't know what it is, but God has given a sign to you that he hears you and he sees you. A kid comes up to me afterward and said, that was me. And he explains the situation. And he's like, I was asking God for a sign at that moment when you give a picture of the New York Knicks. And so you might just be somebody, if you speak up, it might encourage somebody else in this room. And you might get a picture. You might feel like you hear something. It might sound like your own voice. You might get an impression, you might feel an overwhelming feeling that you just have to say something. You may feel like you have to go to somebody across the room, you might feel like you have a word for pastor, you might just feel something. And we'll help you navigate through something, but I believe God wants to speak something to everyone. And it may be to share on the microphone, and it might not be. So I want everybody to bow their heads. No, nothing magical about it, except for you who are ADD, this will help you. That's me. And I just want you to repeat after me, Father, speak to me. I thank you that I do hear your voice, that you can talk to me, and that you're going to do something cool through me right now, in Jesus' name. So I just bless God's gifts to loose in this room, and for some of you to, for the first time, hear God for someone else, or discern that you are, in Jesus' name. And so if you felt like you might have something that you don't even have to know who it's for, but you got a picture, you got a word, and just come to the front. I just want you to line up and just stand right by me. So it'll be a little bit bold, a little risky, but you just want to come to the front and we'll see together, we'll learn together. Okay. And I'll just wait for a few guys to come up. Tyler, you don't have anything? And leadership, this includes you. If you have something, just feel free to come up. All right, so Holy Spirit, just bless what you're doing. And thank you for it. And so as they're sharing, you might build up the courage or the boldness to just come on up. And I know it can be scary to go on a microphone. It can be scary to say something. What if I'm wrong? But the thought is, what if you're right? what might that benefit to somebody else's life? If you never share it, their life might not be different, even in a little way. So God speaking through you might change your life just because you did it. So.
Okay. And, yeah, there's a lot of hesitation. You know, you don't know if you're really hearing from God or if it's just you thinking of something. So don't be scared. Just try it. This is definitely a safe place. So I saw a picture of a wall, and there was a shadow from a building being cast over a dumpster with a lot of trash falling out. But next to that was a road, and the road was going out into a really bright, sunny day that was past the building, so I don't know what that means. I don't know who it's for. But
just say it one more time.
Okay, so there's a wall, and a building is casting a shadow over a dumpster, and a lot of trash is falling out from the dumpster, but next to that is a road, and the road is going out into a really bright, sunny day, and there's grass. Okay.
Okay. And so if anybody feels that's for you, Let Aaliyah know afterwards. And if Todd says anything, or she says anything, or any of us say anything that feels like it's you, just go let them know, and we'll have them pray for you, and it'll be okay. So if you want to stand up here, and if you feel like that's for you, at some point, just come up to her.
I just saw the Michelin man, and I believe someone maybe have bald tires or something and didn't know how you're going to finance it, or maybe you know someone who needs tires, but I just saw the Michelin man. That's what it meant to me, but all I saw was the Michelin man.
All right. You want to stand over here, and if that's you, we'll believe God to do something right now.
As we were praying, I had heard the word tiger, and something about a tattoo. I don't know if you have a tattoo of a tiger or you were thinking about getting a tattoo of a tiger, but then I had heard something attached to that, and I felt like it was the Lord speaking to whoever you are, saying that my hand is upon you, my word is in you, begin to move forward in the gifts that I've given you, and I will bless you in all that you do.
So if that's you, just keep it in mind.
I can. Thank you. I was feeling really strongly the other night, actually a couple weeks ago, to share a couple verses from this psalm with a specific person, but I didn't feel like it was the right time. And again, while we were praying, God brought the same psalm into my mind, but he said, not only is it for the specific person who's here today, but everyone else needs to hear it that's here. And so I just wanted to share a couple verses from Psalm 139 in the Voice version. It says, O Eternal One, you have explored my heart and know exactly who I am. You even know the small details, like when I take a seat and when I stand up again. Even when I am far away, you know what I'm thinking. You observe my wanderings and my sleeping, my waking and my dreaming. And you know everything I do in more detail than even I know. You know what I'm going to say long before I say it. It is true, Eternal One, that you know everything and everyone. You have surrounded me on every side, behind me and before me, and you have placed your hand gently on my shoulder. It is the most amazing feeling to know how deeply you know me inside and out. The realization of it is so great that I cannot comprehend it. Can I go anywhere apart from your spirit? Is there anywhere I can go to escape your watchful presence? If I go up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the realm of the dead, you are there. If I ride on the wings of morning, if I make my home in the most isolated part of the ocean, even then you will be there to guide me. Your right hand will embrace me, for you are always there. Even if I am afraid and think to myself, there is no doubt that the darkness will swallow me. The light around me will soon be turned to night. You can see in the dark, for it is not dark to your eyes. For you, the night is just as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to your eyes. You shaped me inside and out. You knitted me together in my mother's womb long before I took my first breath.
Amen.
Amen. Well, when I asked the Lord just said, I have a word for Deanna. And, but I didn't have the word. And when Aaliyah had the vision, the Lord says, that's the word for Deanna. Your family has been in a really hard, bad place. Some of your children have been in the dump You've been in a hard place. But God says he's preparing a road out of that bad, shadowed place into a sunshine and into a beautiful place. And the Lord's opening the door before you right now into a beautiful place and into his sunshine. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so I saw a picture of a hand, like a forearm, but it was kind of like the hand part was amputated and there was bandages over it. And the Lord said that if you let him take off the bandages, you're going to find that the hand is actually still there. What you thought was cut off is actually still there. So I don't know who that's for.
That might pertain to ministry, could be pertaining to business or a way that God used to use you. That you maybe you don't feel like he uses you anymore, and he would like to. Okay, so we're going to pray one more time, and everyone want to close your eyes. So Holy Spirit, I just bless your gifts in this room, and just really ask for a honing in on what you're saying. And so some of you might feel like you've got pictures or words and you don't know what they mean. And so what we're going to ask is, Holy Spirit, what do those things mean? What do I do with what you've given me right now? So if God could show you something, he could show you what something means. And I thank you, God, for that. Just thank you for that, God. For the Michelin thing, it might be somebody in here might encounter somebody with a flat tire. Have faith to pay for it or something. You're the gift. Be open to giving gifts even practically. I want to throw that out there. So does anybody feel like they have a word? I can bring the microphone to you. Does anybody feel like they have something?
Well, my faith has really been activated today. I feel like a new fire. I guess I could totally claim that amputated hand because for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years, I've been trying to get right with God, and there's something just stopping me. And maybe it was, like you said, he had a word about a curse, and I just received that that's broken. God has put a vision in my heart, like 2 years ago, I wanted to do a drive, like a back-to-school kind of thing. I was a secretary, and I wanted to do this. I had this great idea, but you can't do that under the district. You cannot ask families to donate for the needy. So if anybody is, like, willing to take down my phone number, who would be interested in providing for children that don't have the means for pencils, crayons, backpacks, notebooks, anything like that, I'm gonna call out my number right now if anybody feels in their heart to write it down. So like 1, 2, 3, go kind of thing. I just live 2 houses down. At any rate, I'm going to give you my number if you guys want to get in touch with me or like let your friends know. I mean, really, there's going to be a lot of sales going on. It costs you nothing, like really pennies. So my phone number is 520-727-1589, and I could just see it happening, and I'm going to move on what God is showing me to do.
Amen. Faith.
Oh, sweet.
A couple of weeks back, I got visions because I was praying by myself. These visions were not normal. They were about heaven. I saw the gates. It was just really, really pretty beautiful. I saw rivers. I saw a temple. I saw a palace. I saw mansions. It's just really powerful.
Well, we just bless and ask you, God, for more. May God continue to show you about his kingdom. In Jesus' name. He wants to show you more. He wants to show you more.
All right. Everybody got something really, like, really awesome, and I just got words. Like, there's people who have anger problems or, like, I don't know what kind of problems. Lack of affection or something like that. Lack of affection, anger, I don't know. Like any kind of problem, depression or anxiety. If you need like anything, hugs or like just a handshake, just go to anyone and give them a hug. Because like how you're feeling, anyone else could feel worse or better. So don't hesitate to go give someone a hug or say hi. I don't know. Whatever it is, just be happy.
Amen. So I believe that let her pray for you as well. If that's you, I encourage you. Calvin?
I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to Hector and Francisca. Please interpret to your wife as I speak. God says, I hear the prayers you pray for your daughters that moved to Tucson. And he says, your prayers look like a bulletproof shield over your daughters. And God says, you can trust your prayers. And the prayer is a bulletproof shield. Trust that. They are protected by your prayers. And you can give God glory every day for that. Trust your prayers. In Jesus' name.
All right, you guys can take a seat. Not going to go too much longer, but we were praying before service. And as we were praying, what I really felt and what we really felt was that God wanted to release gifts of his Spirit and gifts in the church. And what I felt like personally is that God really wanted to show your place in the Christian community. And that last night I preached on it's time to mature and it's time to grow up. And part of growing up is, what do you have to offer that would benefit other people's lives? And I just want to challenge you to allow God to speak to you, even if you don't feel mature, even if you feel weak, even if you feel like you can't be used. There's some of you I know God has been working on. You need to do it. You need to do something. Some of it's here with Faith Ministries, and some of it's just something. Some of you might be, hey, I need to go clean up my house. I need to go do the project my wife asked me to do. Whatever that is, go do something. Go do it. All the wives say amen, right? Amen. Go and do it. Find your part and go serve where God's called you to serve. Some of you, you feel like you've hit a wall. And sometimes, for some of you, what this might be is, it's not time just to receive anymore. It's time to give out. And God will give you more as you give. It's not a works thing. It's not what I'm getting at. But is you're meant to be a river. You're not meant to be dammed up. You're meant to be a river. You're called to give. The Father's a giver. We become givers. What we observe in God, we become like. And so that's what I have to say about that. But that's the final thing I want to pray about is, Lord, what are you asking me to do from here? What's my action point? And it might look different for every single one of us in this room. Only you can hear for you on this particular one, okay? So, Father, you're so good. You're really incredible. You're so loving. You're so kind. And I just ask you that faith would fill each heart. That you're able to save. You're able to heal. You're able to deliver. For some, like I said earlier, who just need the basic needs met, may those in this room, may you speak to them as I'm speaking, God. May the Father bless you. May you know that you are loved no matter what you do from this place. May you know that the Father chose you before time began. May you know in the deep place that God cares about me. God cares about you. And that you're not an orphan to him. You are chosen, selected, adopted. And may in Jesus' name, each of you begin to hear what God is saying to you from today. Where is he asking you to serve? Where is he challenging you to have faith, to step forward, to not be afraid, to not stay where you're at? Some of you start reading your Bible. Some of you start spending time again in the morning. Some of you go ask your parents or your children forgiveness for the way you treated them. Whatever it is. Some of you, it's time to step into leadership at this church. Some of you, it's time to learn how to welcome other people into that place. And I just bless you. May you have clarity of what God is saying. And just go into worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Say these words. My God is alive. And I trust him. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being alive in us individually and corporately as the body of Christ in this church, in this location. We thank you for being alive here today for us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for drawing us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come back at 6 tonight, should the Lord allow you to. And the Holy Spirit is still flowing like a river. And I got a feeling the river, the water's rising. So do everything you can to be here tonight. God bless you. Have a great evening.